They'll check it out. A whole new generation of young people today who belong nowhere.
But I prefer to be now cast.
Third culture kids, where the concept of the Dukan is the corner shop or the top shop.
We are live outside. Hey, yo, what's up, people?
What up, nation?
It's a revolution of expression.
You're tuned in to the Dukan Show. Stay tuned in.
Arab digital generation is shaping our identity, their creative expression, and their future. So please give a very warm welcome.
The Dukan.
Welcome to your tribe.
All right, and we're live. Akawi.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. كيف حالكم حبيباتي؟ اشتقت لكم. I love you all. اليوم معنا عمو اوتي.
Yes sir.
Auntie Reem.
Hello.
And somebody that صراحةً before they already know you, but I'm still gonna say.
But still,
it.
Still, okay. Still. Give him an intro.
صراحةً, it's someone that I've known for a very long time. It's someone that I've seen his journey from just like a small cooker pit, whatever you want to call it. I probably ruined it. It's fine.
In his backyard.
And it's not even his backyard. Like in some of his first ever pop-ups. Someone there, and after my father, there's a handful of people that I respect and look up to in the F&B industry. And this is one of them. Yeah. Hatem Matar, a father, a brother to me, a father again to two beautiful daughters, a pit master, a road... The motorcycle, kilshi, everything. I mean, mashallah, mashallah.
Jiu-jitsu fighter,
wait, you're a jiu-jitsu athlete?
Bro, I thought I do a lot of things.
I did not know that. Yeah. Really?
I know, yeah. I thought I do a lot of things at once. But Hatem Matar,
busy and we're probably guy.
Gonna,
you should have added this to the sound because we're going to be doing this a lot. In
knock
this
on wood.
Hatem Matar, I love that you. Mashallah. I'm what so happy that we have you on the show, bro. Sarahatan,
my favorite.
Akharna, I know, but now we have you, and there's like cameras,
we're here now.
YouTube, yeah. Harakat. Yeah.
YouTube. Yes.
But also, not to forget, my favorite names he goes by, the Butcher of Barsha. Yeah.
The Butcher of Barsha.
And what's the other one? The Wolf.
Yeah,
just the wolf. Big wolf with the softest heart, man. Yeah, I love those guys.
And not just slaying sheep and cows, ladies. If you know what I mean. He is the butcher of my heart.
Anyway, let's keep this train moving. But one of my favorite memories of you was during the pandemic. Do you remember this?
Yo.
Okay. This is when I fell in love with you. Okay. Like,
this
I knew
was a great experience.
Bro,
that was the most randomest day of my life, but yo. I loved it. And it was my birthday.
Okay. It was at Kawi's birthday.
It was at Kawi's birthday, and I came to yours to pick up the briskets from you.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And it was like the lockdown just kicking off.
Yes.
And I go over to this place. Dude's got his dogs on alert, right? And he's like rushing through things. And he pulled up, like, at that moment, he looked like a butcher straight out the freezer. Yeah. You know? He's got the apron, the gloves, the masks,
knife,
the whole thing with the knife.
The apron, blood on the apron, the whole thing.
Right? And he goes to him, he's like, you know what? It's just the beginning. It's about to get worse. I'm like, what are you talking about? and he proceeds to tell me this theory where he's like, no. He's like, look, I'm ready. He's like, I got my machetes, I got my knives,
yo.
I got my daughters, right?
I
he's like, I have my farm ready, right? He's like, I got my chickens, I got food for the next year. I'm good, I'm ready.
This man bunkered down. I was looking around and I was like,
we should stay here.
I should move in with Hatem Matar. I shouldn't be floating around looking for toilet paper. You had everything. You had chickens,
everything.
You had everything.
Yeah, yeah.
All of it.
This man bunkered down like no one's business.
I would have moved to the maid's room if it'll take me.
Bro, and that day was so random because Anna, I was still like off the cuff. I was going through that phase where I wasn't eating meat or chicken. And then door knocked, and I'm like, okay, probably someone sent me something. Maybe it's because it was my birthday. I open Hatem just goes like here.
And I'm like, and what is he wearing?
I'm like, well, it's like someone sent you food. I'm like, okay, do you want no? Okay, go with it. All right,
yeah.
And I'm like,
yeah.
And then it was OT and Reem that sent me that.
Yeah, we sent.
No, and I remember OT was like, bro, it's Akawi's birthday. I'm like, say less, ready to go. And what are we gonna send him? And then we had to like between COVID lockdown, you know, when you remember you had to get those permissions. So at the time when people still had money, we were sponsored by every brand under the sun. Alhamdulillah, wafadullah, we were sponsored by Ducati. Okay, yeah. So I did your delivery.
Yes.
On the bike, on a
998. But between the deliveries that we had to do, and the deliveries that we had to do across the city, wallah al-azim, if it wasn't for food delivery, COVID would have been the worst time of my life.
Of course.
But the capability to still see people, and I would ask, I'm like, yo, brisket sandwich, hug? And people were like, yeah, bro. Huh.
See, that's the thing.
You know what I mean? That's and awesome. It gave you the capability to still see people because the police nets didn't say anything. That you saw that the backpack on your back. They didn't even stop you.
Right.
So sometimes it was empty and I would just drive around town just to go see people and be like, yo, man, imagine. Hug.
Is that your chorizo or are you happy to see me? But wait, let me tell you the story of how I met Hatem.
Right? Okay,
so this was
like,
I think 5 years ago. Maybe. Yes. Five years or 6 years ago. One of the first Al Sirkal Art Fest. So I was walking around. Okay, I wasn't looking for food. Right? I'm just walking around. And then I see this guy grilling a pineapple, like in his smoker. Mm. And I remember when I was a kid in a Brazilian restaurant in Abu Dhabi, their dessert was a grilled smoked pineapple with brown sugar on it. And I looked at it and I'm like, bro, Sean Tamid. He's like, what does it look like? I'm like, I'm grilling a pineapple. Mm. I'm like, okay, I want some. He goes like, but it's still in the works. Mm. I'm like, okay, but when it will be ready? He's like, did you try my brisket? I'm like, no, but I don't want to try. But he's like, but you're not getting a pineapple.
And yeah, I'm like, yeah. And this I'm like, for this.
And I'm like, but I ate. I want a pineapple. He's like, no. You need to try my brisket.
And then we
and
can.
Then yeah, I'll give yeah. you a pineapple.
I love
and
the upsell.
Bro, I stood there for 30 minutes because he was also grilling. And I'm like, and I went, I walked around and I came back.
No. Then, so if that interaction in the beginning was like, I want a pineapple. I'm like, okay, bro, first you have to have brisket. Yeah. And then we'll do pineapple. I'm like, what are you doing now? And he said, nothing. I'm just walking. And this is still us. Like, we know of each other. We run in the same circles, kind of, but we don't know each other.
Right.
Right.
I'm like, you want to walk with me? And he's like, yeah. And we, Angishtu, do you know what that means?
Yeah.
In Arabic.
What does that mean?
Angishtu means Shangaltu.
Like they locked arms.
In Egypt, guys walk like this, no problem.
Yeah,
exactly. So, Angishtu, and we walked around Al Sirkal, and I gave him like a 15-second elevator pitch about a hip-hop party that does brisket and beats, and we were going to do this, and this. And I know he was just humoring me because he wanted the sandwich. And
I wanted the pineapple.
Yeah. And he was like, yeah, okay, great. And we get back to the place. He's like, is it ready? I'm like, here you go, bro. Yeah, and then we never got to brisket and beets, by the way.
We never got. But also,
can we?
Question.
Can we do that? Is that a
thing? At the time, it was, you weren't pushing the brisket and the pie, you were pushing the smoker. I think you also had that brand or something.
I was sponsored by Weber.
Because when we were walking around for those 15, you also were telling me about the smoker. So you tell me how it makes your beef different and like with
Man, so those Al Sirkal events and, you know, God bless Al Sirkal still. You guys saw us this weekend.
Yeah.
Al Sirkal was like our launching ground after the farm when we started. And people had no idea what we were doing. But you remember this? You guys know the smell. It's like
the smell, your voice, right? Your daughter is everything.
It's all.
But in that order, in the smell, the most recognized smell in the world is
your brisket.
Fire.
Oh, fire!
Yes,
I love your brisket.
It's smoky.
I'm here for your brisket.
The second one is coffee. So the first smell in the world, wafting through Al Sirkal, thousands of people, and then we get a queue lining up. And over the course of the day, when we had first started, we would hear people say things to each other in different languages. And at first, I thought nothing of it. But I could see the way they were talking. They were talking about something very emotional.
Mm.
And so I started asking. Halfway through the day, a Japanese guy said something to his Japanese partner. And he's like, he'd say something and he'd make a face. I'm like, what did you just say? He's like, this smell reminds me of home.
Yes. Mm.
Okay? And then Arabic guy, he's like, Ya zalame, rihta daya. And then Turkish guy.
Of course he's living in the daya.
Yeah, of course. Okay, Taksim, a Turkish guy. Then an Argentinian guy. Then And before you know it, 62 nationalities. And I had asked all of them, even though it is the same smell, okay? All of them said, this smell reminds me of home. And I realized right then and there, probably the first Al Sirkal, that now it's not about the food anymore.
No.
Now we're purveyors of emotion, a connection back to home. All of us are expats. Regardless of the cuisine we were making, wallah azim, we could have been making kofta.
Right.
But the smell 100%. Of the barbecue reminded everybody of home.
But it's a much deeper thing than that. I think it is a deeper generation, not generational. I think it is like fire and man and society and civilization.
Human.
It is something human about us.
Yes.
First of all, it's visceral.
Yes.
And there's a survival element that's directly intertwined with it.
Your brain is hardwired. Your brain is hardwired for high calories and for fire.
Yes.
We tick the box for
100%.
When you get fire, when we used to put the fireplace outside of the barbecue area, people would just gather around the fire, not knowing each other, and just stand and do this.
Yeah.
And then start having conversations. Your brain is actually hardwired to do that.
Yeah.
So we're kind of cheating, but it's been...
No, no, you're not cheating. You're tapping into something that 100%. Is so human. And then when you add the layers of like your family, how wonderfully generous you are with your family, with your love, with your food, it really makes everything that I believe the Arab world stands for is embodied in you.
And
I
transcends
really love that.
Every
I love
language.
I really do.
It transcends
really do.
Every language. It transcends every culture. Like, even if you don't speak English or Arabic and you're here and you see and experience this, you get it. Like, that, your heart draws you to it because that's what human nature is,
man,
in its essence.
We can we swear on the show?
Yeah.
Let it rip. You do whatever you want.
Oh, I was just checking. This summer, we were the culinary ambassadors to the UAE embassy in Washington, D.C.
Yeah.
Which means His Excellency Yusuf Al-Utaybah sent us to the most Republican places in the U.S.
Wow.
To try and connect with these people and say, listen, this is the Arab world and stuff like that. So in the middle of Eagle Lake, Texas, population 6,000, okay? Mm. Where if
population 6,000?
Yes. Where you could... If a car rolled out of the city limits, the counter would go 5,999. Like,
wow.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, literally small town. And we ranched with them. We did the whole cowboy thing, rode on a horse. We let the cows out in the morning, then made sure they didn't get injured. Da, da, da. And then at the end of the day, we were eating. And I'm like, you know, if we slaughter something in the Arab world in Dubai, we give a third to charity, a third to the neighbor, and then we eat a third.
Yeah,
and one of the guys, we were just talking about the concept, and the guy's like, Dubai, where the f*** it?
Oh, for real?
I swear to God.
Well, and I'm like, my ass in commissary, he didn't know.
You
know
what did I mean? You say?
And I'm like, it's in the Middle East. And he's like, oh, like Pakistan?
Oh.
And I'm like,
Allahu Akbar.
No, but just listen, this is how far removed they are from their enclosure, like the place they
know. It's the Bible Belt.
Right? But after I had cooked for them, right? The conversation wasn't shoulders up.
Yeah,
right?
Everybody relaxed.
We sat down. And the guy at the end of the conversation after the barbecue that we had shared, because I cooked their food, but our way.
Right.
Okay, so brisket, but spiced our way. So kebab halak, garlic, Aleppo pepper, that kind of stuff. The guy was like, when we were leaving, because we spent 3 days ranching together, and he's like, Hatem, I don't really like to get emotional, but I'm going to get emotional, so I'm bye to you. And I'm like, man. And I gave him a hug, and he stepped away.
Oh.
And I'm like, what's wrong? He's like, just give me a minute. He was like...
He felt emotional.
He was, man, he had tears in his eyes. Because we went, men. but listen. I thought to myself, if you had invited that guy to come talk about Arab culture and the history of barbecue and live fire cuisine, paid as a paid gig, and you dressed in a suit in a boardroom, he wouldn't have even showed up.
Yeah,
but put the barbecue on a plate and talk to him about how we got here, how we apprenticed, how it connects us, all of that stuff. All of a sudden, he doesn't even have a guard up. He's just interested in the food. And after he's well fed, he's comfortable. Say whatever you want. They'll listen.
100%.
Right? And
100%.
Without a doubt.
It's soft. Everybody's talking about the diplomacy of soft power, where you don't have to show everybody your guns, right? For them to listen. Bro, sit down. Tell me what you think of this. There's a philosophy. There's a Chinese philosophy. If you want to make peace with your enemy, ask them for something, which I do with my ex-wife, by the way. Well, no, and we do that to each other. Good. No. In a good way.
Yeah.
Sometimes we'll be driving across the city.
Yeah.
And she's like, "Can you get me Starbucks on your way?"
Right.
And automatically, our interaction when we see each other, I'm like, "Hey, here's
it's
your
Alana."
Man, it's nice. Pleasant. We hang out. We high five. All of that stuff. Mm-hmm. I do the same when she asks me, and she does the same when I ask her.
It's peaceful.
Not in the animosity type, but if we led with the space between us instead of leading with the differences between us, you allow that space to fill up with your similarities.
Right.
But people are always leading. Oh, where are you from? Then all of a sudden now there's a difference between us.
Instantly.
Right? Instantly. People always lead with their differences, but lead with empty space and you'll find that automatically that space fills up with similarities.
100%,
man.
100%.
I completely agree.
When people start a conversation with either where you're from or
what do you do?
You know what I mean?
No. There's so many things to say about the world and what it is today. Everybody is leading with, I am this XYZ, race, religion, business, all of these things. But the commonality between us.
It's food.
No, it's bigger. It's bigger. No, it's bigger than the differences.
Yeah,
it's bigger than the differences. But for some reason, we haven't been able to make that a common thing. You
right.
know what I mean? Especially in this city.
Well, I think that trying to make it a common thing is a very forced practice. I think when we're talking about ambassadorship and connection, it really is just about existing as you are, authentically as yourself, and being vulnerable enough to ask for something.
But also, this is one of the most diverse cities in the world. And as well, you need to...
So inevitably, we're going to ask, like, where are you from and what do you do?
But don't start with it.
No, 100%.
That's what I mean.
You're right.
Start with, don't lead with, where are you from? Man, sit down, have the conversation. It'll come up.
But yeah, it will come up.
Everybody leads with where are you from and the what do you do part. And bedoon masalih, bedoon anything, spend some time together, hang out, high fives, hugs for those inclined, for those so inclined.
We are huggers. I think that was one of the things, right? We are huggers. And that's what the pandemic
started. And I'm like a tight hugger.
Bro, and the beauty about Hatem, Hatem is a hugger even if he's covered in like barbecue.
So he doesn't get
But you can tell, honestly, can I tell you something?
Yeah.
You can tell who was hugged as a kid and who was not by the way they hug as an adult.
Absolutely.
So take me through that.
Somebody hugs a lot of people. I don't want to say the group of people, but there is a group of people that are not good huggers. And we're doing the opposite of what we said to generalize into a group. But they hug, when they hug you, as soon as you go in for the hug, I can't, how can I hug you on here? They do this.
Come this way, come this way.
Oh, like with a quick tap.
Yeah, just get in and get
the
out.
The fundamentals of a hug for me is you need a minimum of 2 seconds. I need a minimum of 2 seconds connection.
Okay, but what's the space? Is it like crotch to crotch kind of hug?
No. Get out of here with that.
No. Suddenly,
why do we have to go there?
No, but I didn't mean it in a bad way. Because you have people that fully hug you.
How can crotch to crotch not be in a bad way?
I mean, people, there are huggers that just come and hug you. They don't, you know what I mean? There are people like that. It doesn't mean that it's anything sexual. They just hug. They're just touching. People.
Right.
Exactly my point.
I think intention is, for me, the intention is connection, and it's not necessary. It's not intimacy at all. It's
but
not
I'm telling you, people don't mean that it's intimate. They just do it because they're. And Habibi, heck, Bilzo.
You feel violated. Akawi feels violated.
Not bad hugger. You're a good kisser. You go three.
I go three.
And the kisses mean something, but you're a bad hugger.
Yeah. Oh, that's fair. It's good to know. It's good to know you're a bad hugger.
I'm not a hugger. I only hug people I care about. I'm one of the, if I see someone.
No.
I never gave you one of those.
I require a minimum of 2 seconds. Otherwise, you were fleeting in my life.
I'm a tuck it hugger.
Do you know?
Can you say that in the same accent, the Western accent? A tuck it hugger?
Yeah.
No.
Because now I'm on the spot. Do you know physiologically, if you hug someone long enough, your heartbeats slow or increase to match each other.
You regulate.
There's some people, man, they're having a shitty day.
Yeah.
They're like just...
right.
Like, yo.
I am there. I do that too. First of all, I've done it to strangers, like straight strangers. Mm-hmm. And I don't care. It's just a part of my philosophy. I think that most people... There are people in this city who have not had a hug or human connection for like days, weeks on end. And it's really important that I just feel like that's that presence and regulating your central nervous system is really important.
Have you ever hand hugged someone?
What?
Hand hug?
Yeah, someone
What's
showed
a hand
it to
hug?
Me and it. No. Do this.
What's a hand hug? It goes like this?
No.
Just like thumbs?
Qais Rustam taught me that. And when
what
he did it,
that?
I felt like the most. What are you doing? He's like, it's a hand hug. You go like this, and then...
No. That is
first of all, shout out to Qais Rustam.
Yeah.
Shout out to Qais Rustam, but never do that again.
That's what I told him. And he goes like, bro, what do you mean? People love it. And then he went to like our colleague, and he goes like, do you want a hand hug? She's like, yeah, sure. I'm like, you know what a hand hug is?
No, I this is the first time.
Man.
That's new to me.
You know, there's new thing. We have to admit that as much as we thought when we were 16, when we got to be 30 and 40... we would still be avant-garde and cool and plugged into the system.
No.
I still didn't get to 40 to know what you're talking about.
First of all, I'm turning 40 in a few months, and the Auntie Reem brand holds strong. I have no intention of being anything.
I think the Auntie Reem brand was built to get you to 40. I think now the evolution of the Auntie Reem, because you've been acting 40 for the past 30 years.
You're right. And why would I change? It's on brand.
No, because
it's
like
finally
the bloom begins. That's when the blooming begins.
Tamara kisses me. Don't. Jeez. Oh, so Tamara kisses me before she goes to school, traditionally. Yeah.
After the Arabic lessons.
Have a good Have a good day. Okay. Bye. Bye.
Tamara.
One day we were dropping. We were doing the school run, and she opened the door, and there were her friends standing right there.
Right. Yeah. Right. Right.
And I'm like, Tamara, kiss. And she's like, No. Papi, my friends are there. And I'm like, Tamara, it's not a big deal. Just kiss me. And go. Just wait. And she's like, no, Papi. And I'm like, Tamara. And she got out of the door, okay, did this, okay, yeah. Just wait, and then left.
It's a heart.
So I'm, yeah. So
what is this?
Let him finish the story.
So I thought, as an Arab dad, I thought she was like,
telling you to wait.
Wait, مش دلوقتي, مش لازم تقوش دلوقتي. You know what I mean? I'll kiss you later. Man, I was livid for the rest of the day, okay? I go for the pickup. Okay.
You unfollowed her off Instagram.
Tamara gets in the car. She said, hi, Poppy. I'm like, hi, Tommy. She's like, what are we doing? I'm like, we are not doing anything. You're going to your room. She's like, what? I'm like, how dare you tell your father to wait in front of your friends?
Yeah.
She's like, what are you talking about? I'm like, when I told you, kiss.
Yeah.
You did this. She's like, I did this. And I'm like,
what the hell is this?
Just wait. This is.
So the thumb.
This is a heart.
It's a heart. Okay?
This is a heart, and she's like, and this
it heart means of a fish?
No, it's just heart.
It looks like a little anime heart. Yeah.
On TikTok, Annie, this is a new thing.
No, the shape. Look at it, Ya Rajul. You're in design. It looks like a heart.
You're in design.
Yes. Heart. Round of applause for Akka.
But you can't be mad at your daughter and still call her Tammy. You should give her the full name. Tamara Hatem Mata.
I was like, she's like, and I'm like, what's this? She's like, it's a heart. It means I love you. I'm like, okay, shut up. We're going for ice cream.
You caved in too quick.
No, but there are things now when we're talking about the hug, all of that stuff, the food brand, the matar and all of the stuff we're talking about was never, I got into this by accident. You know what I mean? You guys know. And all of it was supposed to be for Tamara and Hannah just to have a regular life, growing up with dirt under their fingernails, going to have chores, going to do stuff that we grew up doing. And in... like a world now, you can see the digital screen here. We're doing something digital. Right. All of our interactions are, did you find OT? You have to push back against that. And I don't mean in a negative way. Like digital life is very useful, but it cannot be real life.
Right.
You can't hand hug on digital.
You can't push. You as much as people, like if COVID taught us anything, it's people were like, oh, I need a break. I don't want to see anyone. We need each other.
We need each other more than ever.
Big time. And we need each other like this in person.
In person.
You can't, no man is an island. You can't be by yourself. And all of the stuff, the hug when Tamara's having like a, I don't want
to. Oh.
Yeah.
Just a little bit. And then she does the.
That release. That's that power. Release.
Big time. I love that.
Big time. And there's, you know, it's Valentine's Day, the butcher of Barsha, real persona. But in real life, girl dad, being a girl dad, shout out to anybody that is a girl dad. Being a girl dad is probably the coolest job on the planet. If I get to do that and nothing else, I would choose that job any day.
And that's this amazing. Is why I love that. Hatem Mazar. Yeah. That right there.
Okay.
But that's the thing, right? Like, butcher of Barsha exterior.
Girl dad interior.
I'm going to make him tell you a story that's a mix of the butcher of Barsha and being a girl dad. Tell them the bunny story. This is one of the main reasons I wasn't happy. Because when he told me, when he told me this story, I was laughing for like a good 9 minutes.
Okay, wait.
I had to stop laughing because there were people.
This
is the funniest story. Hatem, hit it.
So when at the old house where the idea started, we had chickens, ducks, rabbits, all of that stuff, but to a lesser degree in a smaller space, and I would barbecue and do all that stuff. My in-laws were over. I was married at the time. And whenever anybody would come over, we'd slaughter a rabbit and make malukhiya uruzu aranib to like a dinner
of honor.
Sounds
amazing. Yeah?
And dispatching a rabbit is a 7-minute job. Yeah.
Quick.
Close off. Yeah. Feet. Okay. Yeah. And you can do that.
That's called dispatching.
Yeah. Yes.
And remember, he did all that so the girls can get their hands. So they were helping him in all the farm work.
Yeah.
Okay. But so that part, Tamara was still like 4 or 5 years old. Okay.
Okay.
So I slaughtered the rabbit, did the thing. Okay. And cleaned up everything, but forgot the head right on top of the fence.
No.
Okay.
Just wait.
Okay.
Okay. No.
So
we're
here. Listen. This is what I did.
The molokhiya and rice is ready. The table set. My in-laws are sitting down. And Tamara comes out to call me for dinner. And she's like, Papi. And she comes out, and there's the rabbit's head.
Right.
And she points at it and she's like, and I'm super mad at myself by this time, but it's too late. You can't take it back. And I yell at her. I'm like, Tamara, go inside. And she's like, and she goes inside and she sits at the dinner table and stays quiet, doesn't say a word. Anyways, wife, sister-in-law, in-laws, my children, I'm severely outgunned.
You are now surrounded.
Okay, severely outgunned in this situation, okay?
Yeah.
Behind enemy lines, Tamara's having her meal, and she looks up at me and says, Puppy, are we eating Fluffy?
Oh, no.
And I'm like, yeah, see that reaction.
Oh, no.
In front of everybody.
Good God. No.
And my ex-wife, for extra drama, like, drops her fork
and
knife.
For extra
drama. So look what you've done to our daughter.
And everybody turns.
She's never going to eat meat again.
Turns to look at me, and I'm like, moment of truth here. Like,
This is it.
This is a moment, right?
Moment of truth. I can lie and defeat the purpose of everything we've been doing and say, no, this is chicken.
Right.
We would have gotten away with it. Or tell her and then bear the wrath of the entire table. Probably sleep outside, you know, do all that stuff.
Yeah, maybe she's going to become a vegan. You never know.
You never know.
You know what I mean? So I'm like, yes, Tamara, we're eating Fluffy. Okay. And then everybody pause for effect. Yeah. Looks over at Tamara. She does this. And she's like, Puppy, he tastes really good. And I was like, yeah. Well, Allah Azim, I lived it. Yeah, 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 actually, yes. Yes, yes. Yes, hard, bro. Hard. Took my shirt off. I'm like, Inti bint Abuki.
You are
your father's daughter.
Straight up.
You know
up.
What I mean? Big
bro,
time.
He told me that story.
Bro. Yo.
Tamara was right in front. I went and hugged her.
Yes,
oh,
big
that
time.
That is amazing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That
big
is
ups,
so
big ups, Tamara. But now she's 13.
Now she slaughters the rabbit.
No, Bilax, actually, it's gone the other way.
Ah.
Mm. So now that she's more aware and has more of a say in what we do and how she doesn't like the slaughtering. She likes the distribution because we used to raise all of our animals, slaughter before the summer, and then go and distribute every year. That was the point of the place. And we raised two sheep, and one gave birth on the farm.
Oh, how
and
wonderful.
Because she gave birth on the farm, there was a moratorium. We're like, we can't, don't.
Yeah.
Tamara was like, no. And Tamara and Hannah, we don't do that. And I'm like, okay, so we broke tradition and raise them a year more. And then it came time, I'm like, Tamara and Hannah, listen, the lesson still stands.
Right.
And we actually went through it and we slaughtered everything.
What is the lesson?
The lesson, man, I don't want to be like overly philosophical. Or
no,
thing,
this is the place to be overly philosophical.
So, man.
Fair enough.
We have the capability now to do whatever you want, whenever you want, at the drop of a hat.
Mm-hmm.
Yes? Chicken sandwich. Deliveroo, now.
Yeah.
Your favorite song, Spotify, now. Your favorite TV show, now. And I mean now, like split second.
Yeah.
You just press the button on your thing.
Right.
At least now, if you had the tape, you bought the tape, you spent the money to get the tape, you had to rewind it.
Right.
Right? Or you had to go out and make the sandwich. Right? And even delivery back in the day was 3 or 4 brands.
Yeah.
You didn't have access to sushi and spaghetti and all of that stuff. The immediacy of things.
Mm-hmm.
Is, I think, destroying our character.
Yes,
and our capability to appreciate stuff. So when we started growing stuff, and I've been growing stuff, and I don't think the term falah is a derogatory term. I think it is the most honorable job in the world.
Straight up.
In Egypt, they're like, matabash falah.
Falah translated
is farmer.
Farmer.
But in Egypt, it's a derogatory term.
Yes, exactly.
Because of the manners. Like, don't be like that. Don't be so base. Right? But, man, we could do away without probably police, astronauts, engineers to a certain degree, da da da. But you cannot do away with the farmer because
absolutely.
You will not eat.
Yeah.
Period. End of story.
There you go.
Yeah.
Right? And you're 3 meals away, any government, anybody, you're 3 meals away from total open like disaster, revolt, whatever it is. 3 meals.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So if your farmer's not doing well, neither are you, homie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
So food security is the main issue that we're facing as part of generational like
100%. Concerns. So Tamara and Hannah, tomatoes. Peppers, chickens, ducks, rabbits. Yeah. We do that stuff from scratch. So when something goes on their plate, and the lesson was, when something goes on their plate, they know how long it took to make that thing.
Yes.
Right.
So there isn't a basilla, there isn't a pea that is left on the plate because they're like, man, this took me 92 days.
Yeah.
The one
to get that.
The one tomato. The chicken was 45 days.
that egg for it to grow and hatch and then turn into a chick and then from the chick into the, and then for it to slaughter. And how long? Don't slaughter chicken at home. It is a horrible process. To one chicken, if not mechanized, you got to do the feathers yourself. Right. That sucks. Yeah. Right. Believe me. And they know that. And they know the amount of effort because they are the ones that put in the effort. So I'm trying, بقدر الإمكان, like as much as possible, for them to know the value of effort and time and the gratitude for the things that those things spent give you back.
Absolutely.
Right? So work put in equals this. Right? Not instant. Not now. Not like...
And like the circle of life of that journey.
The circle of life is hard, is the hardest part because I don't want them to feel disconnected or hard-hearted from growing up and slaughtering stuff, right? They actually developed a connection with the lamb that was born on our thing. But then when it came time to slaughter, we slaughtered, we gave all of it away. But the lamb that they raised, we ate ourselves. Mm-hmm. Okay? And then at one point they're like...
Is there a reason for that?
I was like, this is yours. Mm. You guys did this, okay? And we sat down and we made their favorite meal and we ate with our hands.
What's their favorite meal?
Mendi. And we just had mendi day before yesterday and they're pros.
Yeah.
But for them to know that this is the effort they put in, I want them to enjoy it.
Yeah.
But honestly, them as a duo, they sat me down. They're like, we're not doing this again. And as young adults, I also want them to have a say. I also want them to have a conversation.
But doing what? The whole raising a lamb and then...
It was really... They're like, we're not doing it. So this year, we didn't get livestock. I got two zonkeys instead. But that's a conversation for later. But just wait. But the lesson for them still stands. And now they understand the process. And for them, the process, خلاص, they've already learned it and they don't want to do it again. And I have to be like, okay, fine. Let's give this time to breathe.
Absolutely.
And when you're ready to go again, we'll do it. But for now, lesson learned. And I'm proud of them because when it's time to go get new clothes, they say, Poppy, we have to give away these clothes. When they get their own presents, they're like, we have to get rid of this and this and this and this. They're very, alhamdulillah, fadlallah, they're very charitable and grateful children.
Yeah, that's beautiful.
Absolutely.
My dad taught me how to slaughter at 13.
Yeah. Well, I think it's part of the rite of passage of some parts of the Arab world. Yeah. You know.
When can we come do a farm day where you...
Man, you know what? Actually, you know what?
No.
You embarrass yourself here.
Yeah, give him an exact day and time.
You embarrass yourself here.
No.
You are probably one of the most invited people to the house that never...
No.
Wow.
That's true? What's true?
Well, call him out on his own podcast.
It was twice.
So call him out.
So and plus I'm like, and sometimes I'm like, bro, come. And he's like, yeah, okay, I'm coming. I'm like, just so you know, even if like you didn't want to come, I'll try and entice you. There's chorizo. He's like, bro, I'll be there. Doesn't show.
It was twice. Hatem.
Okay, twice.
Twice is enough.
We show up when we get invited.
Okay, but by the way, in my defense, okay, I text him. It's like at 3 p.m. I have already ate and everything. I send him something.
You see what he said?
He said
I already ate. So he's not coming for Hatem. He's coming for the food.
I'll tell you because Hatem, because he posts it like a chorizo. I'm like, wallah, bro, mashallah. He goes like, yalla, come eat.
No, this is your defense. Bro. Actually, if there was a jury of your peers here,
there is a jury, bro.
After that whole great intro, you had to screw me at the end. This was the cancel.
No, we're not ending here.
Okay, we're not leaving.
I want to come do a farm day. I've never done it in my life. I'm a city boy.
You've never done a farm day?
No.
Oh wow!
But I just found out that it takes 45 days for a chicken to be. Okay.
No. Chickens lay an egg every other day, but for it to like be its own thing and the chick hatch and stuff. After the chick hatches, it takes 45 days.
So I never knew that. Let me know when I'm down.
Come, but you know, I'm less and less of a farmer these days, which I don't like.
Because you're an esquire.
No, because he's at Faya.
No, because of the grind.
Look at him getting all blushed out.
The grind. We don't plant as much as we used to. I don't have the same amount of animals. The grind is much more than I thought it would be, and you have to rise to the occasion.
Mm. Right.
You're like, Ya Rab, if you gave me 100 dirhams, this is what I would do with it. And sometimes you get 10, right, to test.
Yeah.
But then sometimes God's like, yeah, here you go, here's the 100. And you're like,
oh, now I got to do the thing.
Now you've got to be like we say, Ad Kilmitak, you have to see me up to your word.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's like, here's 100. I'm like, Lord, if you gave me restaurants to like meet people across like the spectrum, bougie people in this place and Arab people in this place and white people in this place, this is what I would do with the platform. And I asked for this summer.
Yeah.
And I literally came back to the T, my dua, and God's like, here you go. And I'm like, oh,
Now you gotta rise, son.
But I was kidding.
No, you were not kidding.
You were not kidding.
Right.
The philosophy of your life, the philosophy of who you are, is so absolutely necessary in the landscape of food and of F&B in the city, in the world, actually. And like one of the things that I don't tell you, but I grew up in a place where my dad was not as available as he. My dad was a great businessman, but he wasn't available all the time. So I've made a point in my life to have. In my landscape and in my world, great fathers.
Yeah.
You know, to look at them and to say, like, no, no.
Yeah,
and you are absolutely one of them.
Thank you so much. I appreciate
that. When I see you and your daughters, I say, like, look, there it is. Like, there is everything I believe should exist.
But you know, the intro that you gave me, I appreciate that. There's a thing that I say to myself, you gut check yourself.
Yes.
Right? Mm. Sometimes you say you are something.
Yeah.
And then when you are doing that thing, you're like, man, I don't like this. But it's part of your persona, right?
Yeah.
It's part of your character. You're like, I enjoy doing this. And it's brought you success, whether financial or social or whatever it is. But you realize this isn't you and trying to be authentic. So when I was going through a really tough time, and for a very long time after the girls were born, I had a thing where in order of importance and in order of things that I strive to be, father, fighter, farmer, flyer.
Yeah.
Father, fighter, farmer, flyer.
Yes. So the father thing... I know it's super cheesy to say, it's super cliche, but you don't, I guess, like, I was a father as soon as they were born.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, I knew. And love at first sight. My first love at first sight, Tamara, when she was born. We celebrate her birthday, and then the day I became a father.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Those two things. And more than most, I don't like being an adult, like, in real life. And you couldn't get away with being a kid unless there were other kids around.
Right.
Yeah. Imagine an adult at a play area in McDonald's. They'd be like, what's wrong with home?
Your passport. Yeah.
Big time. And they allow me to... Sometimes the boys are like, yo, what are you doing? I'm like, nothing, man. Samurai jacket, home, milk and cookies. They're like, oh, tell the girls I said hello. I'm like, the girls are with their mother. It's just me. You know what I mean? I'm just watching cartoons at home. You know what I mean? And the kids keep you young and they allow you to do, and they teach you so much.
Yeah.
You're like, I'm going to impart wisdom on my children. I'm going to tell them this. But most of the time, it's the kids doing the schooling.
Absolutely.
You
know what
I mean? No, 100%. And that's why I started with a father.
Yeah.
Yeah. But then fighter, what are we fighting for?
And that's another philosophical discussion. All of those things are philosophical and esoteric in nature. I know it's super cheesy, but it's those things are philosophical in nature before they are physical. So mm-hmm. Yeah, I am a fighter. I used to compete. I had a professional career. I'm a brown belt in jiu-jitsu. Great. But I'm not fighting in that sense. I'm fighting for what I believe to be right.
Yeah.
And putting that forward against the people that say, no, it's not. So father first, and then fighting for everything. I'm fighting for my children. I'm fighting for myself. I'm fighting for our belief system. I'm fighting for our community. I'm fighting for this part of the world.
Yeah.
Why is Martha Stewart teaching me how to make hummus? Yo, Holmes. We can do that. You know what I mean?
Stop.
All of the stuff that we're doing, again, in a philosophical sense, and it's the Arab world. Name me Arab leaders, thought leaders in any domain mm-hmm. that are instantly recognizable abroad.
Adil Imam.
No, that's not in the Arab world.
Out of the Arab world,
globally.
So what you're calling for is something that Dukan has been calling for since our inception,
which is
the fact that in mainstream, Arabs like us do not exist.
100%.
And that's why if you're fighting for anything, you're fighting every time you rise, we rise with you. Every time you're on a platform, you're carrying us
100%.
With you. And I think that it goes both ways. And that's why I love the work we do, because we celebrate you and people like you that rise.
And we celebrate us,
exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
Like how many nationalities here?
Yeah,
right? And the point of it is, I think the only people that you can say are on the global stage in the Arab world, Muhammad Salah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes.
And then a few politicians that people instantly recognize them globally, wherever.
Yeah.
But you can't say that of Europe. We know European everything. We know British everything.
Yeah.
We know American everything. We even know a bit of Latin American everything.
Yeah.
Who speaks for Arab music?
For us.
Nobody.
Who speaks for
Arab fashion?
Yeah.
Who speaks for... Why are we not doing that? Why are other people telling us who we are? Right? And we've just got to be so excellent. And I don't listen to Kanye West. And I know it's very like a lot of
We know.
No, I know there's not a lot. I mean his music. I'm huge into music. But
all
Kanye
the asterisks.
Right. There's a lot of controversy there. But Kanye West said something over the summer,
And I heard it. He said, I had to make a ball so hard, right? And be successful in order to make the track Jesus Walks.
That makes sense. If you have to become undeniable at
before
one point,
anybody can,
you know what I mean?
That's the word. So if you get to be so successful where people are looking to you to see what color your socks are,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Then you could say whatever you want. But he said, if I made Jesus Walks first and tried to do Sunday service, people wouldn't have taken me seriously.
No.
But he did. True. He became Kanye West and then said whatever he wanted to. And people were like, yeah, this is cool.
Yeah.
So I told Akawi downstairs, I want to be so successful and so wealthy that I can dress as poor as I want. And he's like, you do that already. I'm like, yes.
But you know, it's out of love.
But that's the point.
But it's also important to everything. And what we were saying earlier about, like, for you, it's for people to smell before they taste the food.
Absolutely.
Because, and this is something that my dad, and now I'm spending much more time with my dad, especially over food because of Ahuman Usha. And he told me when we were setting
up. Is that an Ahuman Usha plug?
No, it's not.
Do it. Hit it.
Me being here is an Ahuman Usha plug.
Yeah. Anyways, exactly.
And he told me we were setting up something and I was doing something. He goes like, "Ma ta'amala hek." And I'm like, why? Mm. He's like, don't do this, do that. And I'm like, why? And he goes like, because al-ayn taakul qabl al-tim, wa usually tim akhir shi bidu.
100%.
Which means, and we're doing something that was more aesthetic. And he goes like, you should do it that way because the eye tastes before the mouth. And actually the mouth is the last thing that tastes when it comes to food.
Mm.
And with you, it's not just smell. It's not just eye. It's also you. So
it's
like
the feeling.
When people meet you in your restaurant and talk to you or see you with your kids or anything, they know that the food is good, by the way. I don't know if anybody, like, they will know that they know that the food is good.
Like,
now
it's made with love.
Everything.
They experience the love before they experience the food.
But it makes them 100% perfect that if they go to Faya, if they go to Hira, if they go to Matar, and anywhere, they're going to get that exact same litmi.
I appreciate that, but you know, sometimes when you're talking on the business side of things, which I despise, I'm not a good business.
I'm talking food, I'm not talking business.
No, but I'm telling you on the business side of things, when you're trying to open something else and you're part of you're a key man, right? Then there is the threat or the risk that you're the gimmick, right? If you're not here, the place isn't going to do well. And I always want the food to speak for itself, yes? Yeah. And on the flip side, we always say, at the company that I started is called Rain Hospitality, and not Matar. Matar obviously means rain, but I mean Rain, R-E-I-G-N, okay? And not rain as in to reign over other people, you're the king, but rain to reign over yourself, jihad and nafs, to be in control and king of yourself, We don't do food, we are purveyors of emotion, okay? And the emotion that we want everyone to get from poutine, fries, all the way down to a tomahawk steak cooked over 6 hours, right?
Where is that?
Is at Fire.
At Fire.
Yeah. Thursday. Book us on Thursday.
No, I got you. Okay. But the emotion here and there is that you are looked after.
Yeah. صح. That right? You are cared for. Yeah.
That's it.
صح. صراحة حاتم, as much as you've accomplished in now, mashallah, I cannot wait to see the next 10 years as well.
Yeah. Me too, bro.
Man. Can I tell you... So the DIFC joint is opened in front of Sotheby's, and two of the people that work at Sotheby's, one of them was one of my first customers. Wallahi al-azim, I can't make this up. One of my first customers in 2015.
Right.
Okay. She heads their PR and customer experience. She saw me, and I saw her, and I recognized her, and I uqsim billah, I remembered her order.
Wow.
Really?
Wallahi al-azim.
That's and the I, kind of care you
and
want.
And I remember. Oh man, I'm getting choked up. But I remember that I changed in the car because I was wearing my suit.
Mm.
I was still doing both.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I can't show up dressed like this. So I changed in the car, took my pants off, put on another pair of pants, put on my apron, gave her the thing. And I remember how tired I was.
Yeah.
And exhausted. I'm like, man, I don't know if I'm supposed to be doing this. And then she's like, what are you doing here? I'm like, I opened a restaurant. Then she got choked up.
Wow.
Yeah.
And I was like, man. And I told her, I'm like, I want you to do it 5 years from now, because that was 2015 and now we're 2023. I'm like, 5 years from now, I'm going to give you this apron, okay? Because we're going to be Big Ting Zaguan.
Big Ting Zaguan.
We're going to be Big Ting Zaguan, and Matar is going to be like the brand that I hope that carries the Arab world into the forefront, into the mainstream for everything, for its excellence, for its chivalry, for all of that stuff. And I'm going to auction off this apron that I'm wearing to you at Sotheby's, And the money that it generates from the person saying Hatem Matar's first apron, we're going to take that and we're going to give it to charity. And you call me on it 5 years from now.
Done. And you heard it here.
You heard it here first.
Yo, Hatem, I'm here for this. Again, I love it.
I can't stop saying I love you. I can't stop knocking on wood every time I'm around you, bro.
Honestly, we love you. For real, for real.
You carry us with you. You carry us with you,
guys,
everywhere you go.
You carry me.
We love you, man.
Now, Hatem, for something that I don't
I'm
think
so
you
I'm so excited.
All right? Oh, and no.
I need to set up for this.
No, and, also, no pressure for when we go on Thursday. All right?
No, but.
So we have a Shattaf
a lot
report.
Of pressure.
Wait, what?
We have a Shattaf report. So what is a Shattaf report, you might
it's
say?
It's a segment on the Dukan show.
No. Oh, do you press so I can explain to him? No, wait, listen to this.
No, no, it's not you, it's me.
Listen to this. It's the Hatem Matar, welcome to the Shattaf report. Speaking about the Arab world and about taking our culture everywhere, we have something in Dukan called the Shattaf report, where Reem does a public service and goes around the city, because I don't use public bathrooms, she does.
Okay. Yes.
Goes around the city to find the best bathroom, which we rate, and it's rated because of its Shattaf. What do we rate, you must be asking? One, the Shattaf appearance. Two, the pressure. Three, the temperature.
Yeah. Yes.
Four, what was I always forget
toilet
four.
Paper.
The toilet paper. Is it two-ply or three-ply?
Three-ply. This knows
how much
on
do they care?
How much
yes.
do they
right?
And then five, the ambiance of the bathroom.
Okay.
All right.
This is the public service that I do every week.
We do
okay.
it every week. So
it's
up
very
till now,
important.
Kinoya is number one. Because they have like heat temperature.
It's that Japanese.
That's a high bar, though.
It's a very high bar.
So we haven't went to fire, so you're probably going to be on the next.
But listen, yo, not a plug. DIFC, our bathroom is in Caviar Caspia.
Okay, I will be there.
I'm just saying, though, you know?
But by the way, you lose brownie points because you have to go to it. It needs to be in the like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yes, okay, fine, but we're a farm, so this is
it's
like an outhouse.
It's okay.
Yeah,
okay.
Zero points.
And then the other place at Fire, we're gunning for you.
All right. This week, Roti, Atni, the last one. One, two. It's the
Shattaf report. Okay.
Hamid.
Indochine.
Ooh.
Okay. In DIFC.
Yeah.
The Shattaf is golden, ladies
Ooh.
And gentlemen.
Oh,
the
wow.
Shattaf is golden.
Shattaf okay. is golden. And it's close to the room that you take pictures at.
Exactly. Yes. There's a strange little room that you take pictures in.
The photo booth room.
That's fine. When you walk in, the whole thing is black and there is this golden Shattaf.
Everything is black. Everything. So you don't know if there's stains on it.
Yeah. But it doesn't matter.
But,
it doesn't matter.
But that's like that, like the, a halo moment in movies where there's one light on the Shattaf.
And the pressure... Fantastic.
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 Yo, is this the first fantastic you've ever heard on the show? It's the first fantastic.
The pressure is fantastic.
The temperature?
The temperature, you don't even feel it. It's exactly my body temperature.
Whoa!
Exactly.
What is happening?
Exactly my body temperature. Toilet paper, two-ply.
Two-ply, come on.
I still have yet to find three-ply in the city, my
guys.
It's
all right. It's a budget thing.
I don't know.
It's vendors.
Experience, I give them a four. These guys deserve a 4.5 straight up.
Indochine, we love you.
Experience.
Well done.
Wonderful, well done. Wonderful, wonderful.
Yo, you know what they call Shattaf abroad?
What?
Muslim shower.
I was waiting for like booty hose.
No. The couple, I was like, yo, like this is in on the West Coast. No joke, man. Because LA is very inclusive. The West Coast is very inclusive.
Yeah,
we did
yeah.
Texas, Louisiana, Washington, then LA. So we got to LA. I'm like, does this hotel have like a, you know, the thing for the bathroom? And they're like, yeah. I'm like, yeah, you know where you wash yourself with it? You got the Europe calls it a bidet. He's like, oh, Muslim shower?
And you're like,
wow.
Yes.
I'm like, bro.
And you know what? Yes.
Yo. Muslim shower, homie.
And that's
that
soft
is
power.
That is
when I, there you go. You're my girl. One love.
That is soft power. When I lived in the States, obviously the apartment we're in did not have one.
Muslim shower.
Muslim shower.
Didn't have a Muslim shower. So... You remember, like, you know sports water bottles? They got that.
Yeah.
So that's what I had in the bathroom at all times. My roommates.
No, don't
Gatorade? You were using a bottle of Gatorade?
It was.
No. All right.
They, when they first saw that, they took it out and they threw it in the trash. I brought it. Another one.
Yeah.
And then I was like, you guys, please just
don't
leave that
it,
there. They're like, but why?
Why are you
so
doing?
Now I'm sitting with three other guys, walking them through what is the Shattaf and how to clean and how to
God's
wipe.
Work.
Bro,
bro. You say God's work.
Bro. And
life
to them,
life
that was the wildest they've ever
right?
heard. Like,
right? Right?
Because
you
up.
Are not clean bro, unless you use water, bro.
I just, I
yo.
I know this, I can't, I'm not, this is a conversation for all after Dukan, but we have to have this conversation.
All right, we're going to have this conversation.
So on a Muslim shower note, Hatem Matar, Allah khalik and God bless you.
We
love you.
We love you.
Thank you for coming on the show.
We love you, bro.
I'm Oti, on Tareem, guys. We love you. See you next week. Ma'assalam.
Bye.
Thank you for kicking it with us today. I hope you enjoyed listening to this week's episode as much as we enjoyed creating it for you. Please subscribe to the show wherever you get your podcast at to stay up to date with all our conversations. Also, if you don't mind, hit us with the 5-star rating, leave a comment, let us know how you feel about the show. That way, it could also help others find the show. And be sure to share it with your friends and family, whoever you think can benefit from it. You can holler at us on all social media platforms at The Can Show. We'd love to hear from you. Or you could drop us an email to hello@thecanmedia.com. Salam.